The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
There's a traditional song often sung to children, and it's entitled, and no, I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it. There's a hole in the bucket. And it's this dialogue, if you're not familiar with it, between George and his wife, Liza. And there's this back and forth dialogue about the problem that they have one morning. George wakes up and goes out to work and discovers a hole in his bucket. And he dialogues with his wife, and he says, well, what should I do? And his wife tells him, well, you should fix the bucket. Well, how should I fix it? She says, well, fix the leak by getting some straw and stuffing it in there. Well, where do I get the straw? Well, you go and you cut it. Well, to cut it, the straw, to fix the bucket, I need an axe. But the axe is dull. So to sharpen the axe, you need to get a stone in order to cut the straw in order to fix the bucket. But in order to sharpen the axe, you need to get water to wet the stone. So therefore, how do I get water when my bucket is broken and has a hole in it? Well, use the bucket. Well, it's this repetitive loop in this conversation that George and his wife Liza have. It is an endless cycle. There's conversation, but it's not effective communication because at the end you're left at where you were in the beginning with the same problem. Words are exchanged, but playfully so in a children's song, you arrive back where you started. In our real life conversations, however, such a conversation would be quite maddening. I would invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8 so that we consider God's word, God speaking to us, that is not ineffective, but that which is powerful and nourishing in our lives. Luke chapter 8, and as you turn there also, just to get a glimpse of where we're headed in these Tuesday and Wednesday chapels, is this fall we're looking at growing in the gospel, growing a fruitful Christ-centered ministry, which is characterized by tomorrow we'll look at the fruit of the Spirit. Dr. Egger will be speaking on the fruit of the Spirit of love. But I'd like to read Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15, reading from the ESV. And when a great crowd was gathered and the people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. As it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9, and when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The one along the paths are those who heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rocks are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. In the first Friday chapel of the semester, we looked at Psalm 1, and this picture of a tree planted beside the stream of water that draws forth from this, it says, the righteous one meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. And the word is not just how we receive our nourishment, but as this parable of Jesus and the parable of the sower tells us, that really the seed is the origin of the tree, not just its nourishment. But here's a question for you. How do we know that God's word is effective? How does Jesus portray this? If you look back at chapter 8, verse 1, we're going to be looking at the whole of chapter 8, different snippets. And what I believe is what Luke is telling us is giving us example after example after example of how the Word of God, how Jesus in this parable says it's powerful and produces fruit. How is this done? Well, in verse 8, in chapter 8, verse 1, this is how the whole section is introduced. Soon afterwards, he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. See, Jesus goes out, and in Luke, previous to this, has done some teaching, has done some miracles, has done many things. But here's where he goes out and starts to really proclaim the word and to proclaim about himself that he is the good news. He is the Messiah that was to come. He then tells this parable of the sower. Then immediately after this, in verse 19, if you look there, Jesus' mothers and brothers come and they say, hey, you know, we're here. We're your family. What does Jesus? How does Jesus respond? Verse 21, he said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. That those who follow Jesus, those who are his true family, his spiritual family, are those who are like the good ground where the seed goes in, the word of God comes, it plants, it takes root. And they not only do they hear it, but they actually follow through with it. In the next section, next story that's unpacked here by Luke is Jesus calming a storm in this hopeless situation where the disciples are fearing for their life. They come and they say, Jesus, rescue us. Jesus, help us. It's by his word that he calms the storm. He's come to him in verse 24 and say, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased. So Jesus, by his word, can control the uncontrollable. He makes calm this raging storm, and the waves cease. Verse 26 actually presents this other, more extended analogy of how the word of God is effective. Verse 26 to 39 tell about this demoniac. And we see, in contrast to how Jesus addresses this by his word to this individual, we see what others had done before him. In verse 29, the people had tried their own solution. They tried to keep him under guard. They tried to bind him in chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon out into the desert. So the people tried. They came up with all these creative things that, humanly speaking, would work. And yet Jesus heals this man, this man who was probably the epitome of hopelessness and helplessness. On his own, cutting himself in the tombs, being defiled, the one who was completely separated from God. And yet Jesus comes and he restores him to his right mind. How? Through the power of his word. Dialoguing here with the demon that was in him, and ultimately casting him out and rebuking him and saying, go, getting Jesus' permission to go into the herd of pigs. Jesus did this by his word. And in verse 39, we see now, if you look at verse 39, this is what Jesus tells him after he wants to follow him. Return to your home and do what? Declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. It was through this powerful word that Jesus heals this hopeless, helpless man. And now he therefore goes and tells others the word of God and the power of God through Christ. Luke concludes this chapter in verse 8, with beginning of verse 40, of this dual situation of healing of a woman with a flow of blood and Jairus' daughter. And Jesus, as he's passing through the crowds, is touched by someone who through faith says, if only I can touch him. And Jesus stops. He doesn't rebuke the woman, but he just asks her, who touched me? A conversation ensues, and Jesus, at the end in verse 48, comforts her with these words, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Through his word, Jesus heals. Jesus brings peace. Jesus brings shalom to this individual who was utterly defiled. And then verse 54 of this chapter, where Jairus' daughter has died, Jesus comes in, takes in Peter, James, and John with him, and goes in verse 54, says to this child, child, arise. Restoration. Luke is giving us tangible examples, and certainly we could give examples of our own life when God's word has become real to us. When we've read something in our devotions, and maybe that afternoon we had something exactly that what we needed to hear that morning. Or there was something placed in our hearts and through God's word that we were then able to share with others in a counseling situation. And yet, I also want to stress that this is an important reminder of the ministry that we're in now and also the years of ministry ahead, because there may be times when we doubt the word of God. This usually doesn't happen, you know, with the classes here and understanding the word of God and what it is. We can maybe be schooled in the arguments and the how we got the word of God and all those things, which are very good. But on a practical level, there's this temptation to not really believe in the power of the word of God. The reminder from Luke chapter 8 in the parable of the sower that goes out is that the power is in the seed, not in the sower. See, we're called to sow the seed. We're called to proclaim the word of God. And what happens after that is what God does by the power of his word. And this is important for us because as we go into our ministry, there will be times when we feel that we are sowing the seed. When we're proclaiming faithfully as we understand the word of God, to be preaching to a congregation, for example, but there seems to be no fruit. What's the problem? Is it me? Is it the seed? Obviously, from this passage and from these examples, it's not the seed that is at fault, but it's God's way. It's how God will produce the fruit in his time and in his way. Now, for us, the challenge is in our hearts in wanting instant results, being impatient people, people who want to question things. The call is for us is to trust and to wait. There may be times when you say, is it really worth it? Do people really get it? You sometimes feel like you're preaching and you feel like there's blank stares. Worse is, and this happens to a lot of people, and it will probably happen to you if you're preaching, that somebody will be falling asleep during your sermon. And you stop and you, as you're preaching, you wonder yourself, is this really working? What's going on here? See, God's word is going out. Don't rely on yourself, in your style, in your gifting, but take comfort in the fact that the word of God is powerful and effective. Or perhaps in a counseling setting, you may have some great strategies for your counselee. You've worked through many passages of scripture that you're convinced that by now they should understand, that they should get it. There's little tangible signs of change in their lives. Don't be discouraged. Luke shows us from chapter 8 that the word of God goes out, that Jesus speaks, that it is powerful, that in the boat, in times of terror and impending death for the disciples in the boat, his word is powerful. In situations of hopelessness and helplessness, like the demoniac or even the woman who had the flow of blood who could not come into the temple because of her impurity, his word is powerful. And even in death itself, for this little child of Jairus' daughter, his word is powerful. See, this image of drawing from the streams, this image of the tree that is planted by the living waters, this soaking up and meditating on God's word is not because of obligation or because we must, but because it is our very life. In John chapter 6, Simon Peter, when Jesus asked, "Will you also leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." May we this morning cling to this, now in our ministries, now in our families, now in our personal life, and in our lives to come, that we will see this powerful word of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, will you grant us the ability to see your power? Forgive us of the times that we are impatient with your seed that goes out. When we look to ourselves to help the seed grow, Father, would you forgive us of that? Let us look to you. May we find our strength in you. Thank you for your word that gives us life, that gives us comfort, and that gives us peace. We pray that we would go from here enriched in your word. Would you plant this harvest? Thank you that you've planted this seed in our lives and that you will continue to nurture it and grow in our hearts and in our ministries. In Jesus' name and for his glory we pray. Amen. Would you go in his peace?